to that great day. Praise the Lord. We're going to go ahead and get right into our Bible study this evening. We've got some ground to cover, and I look forward to it. I believe tonight's Bible study is on time. I believe it's important. I believe it's pertinent. Amen. And it's paramount to the way we live for God today. And we're going to add it to our day-to-day living. Just things we've already heard, but things that need to be reiterated and said again and again and rehearsed and rehashed, and so that we can live it. And not just so we can live it, but so we can give it. Amen. When we know the Word of God, we can answer questions about the Word of God. And that's what tonight is all about, living it and giving it. Praise God. And so let's look into the book of Hebrews chapter 6. And we're going to start with verses 1 through 10 while you're standing here this evening. Amen. Brother Jay, did I put that on there? I didn't. I knew by the look on your face that was my bad. We'll start there, and then we'll go to all the other scriptures I gave you for tonight. All right, here we go. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let's go on unto perfection. In other words, let's not just hang around one area, but let's move on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptism, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this will we do, if God permit. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened, and you have tasted of the heavenly gift. That heavenly gift is talking about the truth of God's word. And we're made partakers of the Holy Ghost. Okay? And have tasted the good, there it is right here, the word of God, the good word of God, and the powers of the world to come. You've tasted the word of God. Because of that, the Holy Ghost has come in. And because of the Holy Ghost, you've tasted of the powers that are coming to snatch us out of this world. If they shall fall away, if these people that have tasted the word, know the word, receive the word, if they fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. Stay right there. Amen. In other words, to fall away from this, walk away, deny it, and say it doesn't matter. It's not important anymore. Found something better. Found something I love more. Then the Bible says, we have stretched him out over the cross and we are crucifying him again. And we also put him to an open shame. The last thing I want the devil to be able to do is point at Jesus' face and say, I told you they wouldn't make it. That stuff you gave them doesn't work. That's a shame. And I don't want to put him through that. Verse number 7. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and it brings forth herbs, meat for them by whom it is dressed, receives blessing from God. The earth gets a blessing from God from the rain, of course. But that which beareth thorns. Now, it's not just talking about the earth here. I want you to think spiritually right now. But that which beareth thorns, briars, is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. But beloved, we're persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany. Everybody say accompany. Say it again. Say accompany. Things that accompany salvation. In other words, things that come along with Bible salvation. Though we thus speak, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work, your labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Amen. Praise God. And so with that being said, that's exactly what we want to talk about tonight. Things that go along with salvation. Amen. Things that simply go with salvation. Things that accompany salvation. As the scripture said, there are things that will accompany your salvation. Amen. So, this is not a little Baptist Bible study. I apologize for that if I have to. But this is totally apostolic. There is a lot more than just believing in Jesus Christ as your Savior. There's a ton more than just repentance. There's a lot more than being baptized in Jesus' name. There's more than being filled with the Holy Ghost. There's other things that accompany all that salvation stuff. And it would do us well to understand what it is so that we don't break down in the process between here and there. So let's look to the Lord in prayer and ask God's help and favor. Jesus, we love, live, praise, we honor, exalt, and magnify the wonderful name of the Lord. And we pray your will be done tonight. We pray the Spirit to move, power to prevail, and the presence of God to bless and save, redeem, to strengthen us, encourage us, and give us absolutes tonight regarding your salvation. In Jesus' name, somebody shout amen. God richly bless you as you're seated. Again, thank you for being here this evening. Salvation is, or at least it should be, the primary quest of every individual. Amen. We're not in the church for the social order. We're not in the church because a friend is in the church. We're not in church because mom and dad is. We're in the church because we want to be saved as an individual. Jesus taught us to make seeking the kingdom of God priority number one. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Amen. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. First the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. Amen. It didn't say just get saved and everything's going to be great. It said seek his kingdom, which is righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost. That's salvation. And his righteousness. In other words, we are to seek his salvation, but we are to seek the things that he considers right for us. Praise God. So no greater position or status in life can we achieve than being saved from the bondage of sin. Jesus himself was manifest in the flesh for the express purpose of seeking and saving the lost. Amen. Luke 19 and 10, the word of God says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost. We've got Bible to verify his sole purpose for coming to this world. Amen. Hallelujah. And then heaven's best has been and is now being given for those who need salvation. All right? Right here is where it is for the most part in our religious world. And I say this without any animosity, without anything. I don't like being redundant, but I'm just simply telling you tonight, they don't mind me saying this because it's true. Amen. What I just told you about the Bible, about the Word, about salvation is about as deep as it gets in our religious world. Right now will be the time to dismiss and go home. It's as deep as it gets. But tonight, well, let me just share this with you. Paul used an illustration of the earth being blessed in the Word of God. He said that in the earth being blessed of God with rain to produce vegetation. Not only were good things produced, but thorns and briars were also produced. God pronounced a curse upon those thorns and briars. Not only were they non-productive, they were a detriment to fruit-bearing plants. They hindered good plants from growing good. I want you to follow me here tonight. Amen. And so thorns and briars were never productive and they hindered other plants. This was where we were going to go to Hebrews 6, 7 through 9. Let's just do that anyway. Amen. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh upon it brings forth herbs, meat for them by whom it is dressed. Receive blessing from God. Okay, so here we go. Verse 8. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. All right. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation. And that's why we're speaking about it. Time and life will produce people who will fall into one of these two categories. However, Paul was persuaded that the Christian would produce fruitful things rather than thorns and briars. Things that accompany salvation then allowed to the Lord to control our lives. Is that not what we want? Amen. And so by all means, that will produce qualities and characters that are very pleasing to God. That's the ultimate desire of a child, a true child of God. And that, ladies and gentlemen, will stand the test of time. I know and you know that seasons come into our lives, some good, some bad, some happy, some sad, up, down, all around. But what the Christian says, let them come. Whatever the Lord has seen me through in the past, I'll go back and pick the jawbone up, because if the jawbone worked before, it'll work again. And if that jawbone represents truth and the Word of God, then I'm going to stand on the truth and the Word of God, because if it saw me through before, it'll see me through again. Somebody say amen. Praise God. So what salvation is and the things accompanying salvation are two separate things. We have got to step out of this religious, frothy, fluffy, shallow world and understand that we have got to adapt and adopt some things that accompany Bible salvation. Because if they don't, you're going to come and you're going to go. You've seen them coming and going. They've been a part of leadership, and now they're not. They were, now they're not. They did, now they don't. They believed it, now they don't. And what happened was, they stopped at the joy of salvation and didn't take on what they should have adopted that accompanied it to keep them and to fortify them and strengthen them. Amen. And so we're going to talk about these things are very important. Amen. And the things that accompany salvation are an integral part of being saved. None can receive what accompanies salvation separately and apart from the new birth experience. Nevertheless, they accompany it. Amen. And none can stay saved by simply receiving and obtaining the salvation plan without the things that accompany it. We grow on from the milk and from the honey. It is not the will of God for people to remain sucklings throughout their lives in the church of the living God. You will not survive. But someone has to mature. Please, we got babies around here. Watch them grow and see what mom has to go through. See what dad has to go through to get them where they're going. Amen. It takes years. It takes months. It takes a lot of time. It takes a ton of discipline. But they work at it. Every day is a different day. Every day is a different discipline. Sometimes it's a step forward, two steps back. But nevertheless, another day has come and gone. And the next day we start again. Amen. It is no different, ladies and gentlemen, with our relationship with God. You never get too old to grow. And you're not too young to decide you don't want it yet. Amen. Praise God. And so I want us to view the point of salvation and works. Salvation and works. Two contrasting teachings surround this topic. Both of them are extremes, and they are unbiblical. Some teach that faith alone is necessary for salvation with no effort whatsoever. Change of lifestyle, not important. Guidelines for the new Christian don't even count. Others place all their emphasis upon works, believing that works can save a man. Amen. Works are going to save a man. Amen. Either of these concepts can contradict biblical truths, and they can cause great confusion in the listener. This is where you really need to stay with me tonight. Amen. I have preached awesome stuff in the past, only to hear people that heard it come back and relate it to me in a total opposite way than what I meant it to be. And so, hear me tonight. Faith alone or works alone is insufficient, will not work. Therefore, we've got to find the true biblical perspective. If we want to please God, and you said a few moments ago that you do, keeping Scripture in context while viewing the entire subject of salvation and works is very important. It's very vital and it's very important. And so we want to consider some things. Amen. Faith, again, alone cannot save a man. Look at James chapter 2 and verse number 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith and he doesn't have works? Can faith save him? Now the Word of God says you're saved by faith. Is that a contradiction in the Word of God? Absolutely not. What the man of God is saying is that faith alone cannot save you. And on the opposite side of the coin, works alone cannot save you. Amen. Faith and works must be coupled together in scriptural harmony and balance together in order to be saved. Praise God. Amen. Social deeds, humanitarian efforts, good works, it will not save you. Acts of obedience, which some call works. Acts of obedience and works are two different things. When those of you that want to go home and brag about repentance and being baptized this Sunday and filled with the Holy Ghost this Sunday, be very careful, because the first thing a lot of people are going to shout at you, oh, you believe in works now. That was not works. That was obedience to God. Amen. Righteous acts, change of character, holy living, that's going to manifest itself in the lives of those that are saved. These are things that accompany salvation. Amen. When you live a holy and a godly life in accordance with the Scripture, never allow anyone to intimidate you with the erroneous idea that you're trying to be saved by works. Salvation from sin will produce a new creature. Look at 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, where the word of the Lord says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, what is he? He is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, I'm going to ask your opinion about this scripture. Does that say that we are going to change? Does it? Absolutely. You're worried. That's not a trick question. Amen. It's saying that we absolutely will change. A new creature is a different creature than we used to be. So that's change. God forbid that apostolics hook up with the world and say things like, I don't even want them to change. Really? That means in your mind and in your heart and deep in your guts, you never did. And that's something to be afraid of. Unchanged, uncompromising, these Christians are a hindrance to the kingdom of God. A child of God that refuses change is a hindrance. You say, well, I'm not changing very much. Amen. When you said very much, that means you're changing a little bit. Glad to have you on the team. I'm just simply saying, people that will look at a pastor right in the eyes and say, preach whatever you want to preach, I'll never believe it. With their mind made up that there's nothing, not even God himself, that can change them, is a person that is not a help to the kingdom of God. Am I correct? Amen. And so we need to understand, Jesus said it best when he said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Are you born again? Let's show our good works and glorify your Father, he said, which is in heaven. Matthew 5:16. Praise God. Praise the Lord. So let's look at a few things that accompany salvation. Amen. Within this reference, a lot of things accompany salvation. Here's some things. Let me go through real quick, such as when we're born again, the power of the Holy Ghost will produce the fruit of the Spirit. Am I right? According to Galatians? Amen. And then we're now in a position to be used with the gifts of the Spirit, 1 Corinthians. And then salvation brings sanctification, justification, and cleansing to all of us, 1 Corinthians again. And then power is given to us through the Holy Ghost. Let's look at Acts 1 and 8. Amen. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, Judea, and all in Samaria, unto the uttermost parts of the earth, everywhere. After you receive power, that's when all of this is going to happen. Amen. After you receive the Holy Ghost, after you receive your salvation, then you're going to do good works because these good works accompany salvation. Amen. So, in conjunction with other spiritual blessings and assets and resources, there's three outstanding things that accompany salvation. Your challenge and my challenge is to appropriate these things and get them into our lives as children of God, lest the enemy brings other desirable people, other desirable climates, other desirable things out there to lure us back out into the world. Nothing should be greater than being in the house of God and in the presence of the Lord. Let's give him praise for that and let him know we believe that. Amen. The devil doesn't know what's on your heart, so let's give him what's in our heart right here. Hallelujah. Nothing, absolutely nobody, no one, no person, nothing should ever stand between you and I and our relationship with God. And I'm telling you, amen, there's joy to be had out there. There's things to be had out there. There's money to be made out there. And all of this, amen. And there's compromise out there. There's all kinds of religions if you just want to pick a religion. It's all out there. But how blessed are you and I to be able to know this gospel truth and to be sit here tonight in the accoutrements that you and I enjoy and in the building that you and I enjoy and the comfort of the truth and the Spirit. Because he said those that are going to worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And here we sit with both of that. All of that. The best thing that has ever happened to you and I. Right here. Praise God. Amen. And so it is. Let me share with you the first, and I'm going to give you three components. There's many things that go along that accompany salvation, and we'll talk about them through the years because that's how many there are. But tonight I want to give you three specifically. The first component is transformation. Transformation. When we experience salvation, as it is taught in the Word of God, an immediate transformation accompanies that experience. God's indwelling Holy Ghost automatically creates a transformation and even a transfiguration when you're born again. Sinners, and hear this, please. Sinners do not evolve into Christians. They are transformed into Christians. It's a miracle. You have to become a new creature. Did I not read it to you in the Word of God? It is literally being born again. It is an absolute miraculous thing that takes place for a sinner to become a child of God. You didn't do it with Girl Scout cookies. You didn't do it with good deeds. You didn't do it with your holiness. You didn't do it with your conduct. Amen. Amen. It is a miracle that came from God that you and I can even desire to be born again. Amen. Praise God. I want you to understand that. Amen. We didn't just evolve into this. Children, young people, the quicker you can comprehend what Pastor just said, the better off you're going to be. You're not going to be saved just because your mom and daddy were. You're not going to go to heaven just because they did. But you're going to go to heaven because you were born again just like they were. You repented of your sins. You were baptized in Jesus' name. You were filled with the Holy Ghost just like they were. And now you have your own personal identification with God. And you have your own relationship with God. And now you're saying, nobody can take that away from me. Amen. And so it is. How could we expect... Let me say it this way. How can God expect less from us than what He gave to us? He gave everything to us. I started to mention it the other night when we were receiving commitments for Red Envelope, how that we're not asking you to give what the Lord gave because the Lord gave everything. Amen. Praise God. Some of you little guys, your hair means more to you than it does than hair means to some of these girls. And the only reason it does is because you're trying to be attractive to the girls. Jesus never had a girlfriend. He never went on a date. He never walked the aisle and got married. He never had a relationship. Never had children. He gave everything. The only reason He even came was to bleed and die so we could have this. So tonight I'm simply saying, I don't want just repentance. I don't want just baptism. I don't want just the Holy Ghost. I want everything that comes with it. And I don't care what the world thinks about it. And I am not going to give it to the world. I'll share it, but I will not give it away to this world. It's mine. It's an urgent time. It's an urgent time that we live in right now. And we need to be suspicious of those that want to contradict the Word of God around us. Amen. And the Bible literally tells us not to have anything to do with them. How could we ever question our salvation and its accompanying transformation when the Bible expressly teaches us some of these things that I'm going to give you here tonight. Amen. The Bible says in 1 John, we pass from death to life. The Bible says in Ephesians, we were once in darkness, but now we're in the light. The Bible says in 1 John, we are no longer servants, but are now sons. Wow. Romans says, we were servants of sin, but now are servants to righteousness. Colossians said, we have put off the old man and put on the new man. 2 Corinthians says, we are new creatures in Christ. Old things have passed away and all things become new. That's change. That's change. Amen. We're no longer what we once were. We're changed. We're transfigured. We took on the things that accompany salvation. Into the same image, from glory to glory. Everybody say, from glory to glory. Change to change. Future to future. Even as by the Spirit of the Lord, 2 Corinthians. Salvation has the miraculous accompaniment of transformation for everybody that receives it. Now, just like you have to make the choice for salvation, after salvation, you've got thousands of choices to make in the future for the things that accompany salvation. And at any given time, you can cut it off and bail. And so we need the transformation that comes with it. The second component is revelation. How many of you, after you received the Holy Ghost, thought, whoa, or wow? Isn't it a revelation? Amen. Revelation comes from the Greek word apokalupto. And that means to take off the cover, to disclose, and to reveal. And so when you receive the Holy Ghost, you got all that at the same time. The Lord took the cover off and began to take you where He's not taking thousands and thousands of other people as of yet. Before salvation, the God of this world blinded our mind. Our understanding was darkened. We were in darkness. After salvation, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, came. We have the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. God revealed things to us by His Spirit. The eyes of our understanding were enlightened. His deity was given to us by revelation, according to Matthew 16, when He revealed things to Simon Peter. God has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ to us. These are things that accompany salvation. Now, study, being teachable, and having an obedient spirit to God's Word, these things are the criteria that are essential to supplement you for revelation. Revelation in this context doesn't mean that God shows you everything, exempting you from study. You've still got to study your Bible. Exempting you from prayer because now you know everything. Basic practice, Christian practices. Rather, God's Word is now made plain, acceptable, applicable, applicable to us because we've had its author. We've got the Holy Ghost is in our hearts, the one that wrote the Word of God, and is now revealing it as we absorb it. Amen. And then the third component, and the one that I guess would be the most struggle for a lot of folks, that is the component of separation. Amen. Professing children of God, Christians who have undergone no change in lifestyle, no change in conduct or spirit, can do great harm to the cause of Christ. because when you're truly born again, you're different. You have changed. I don't want to cause damage to the kingdom. Amen. Damaging the kingdom of God even more extensively are those who once walked in holiness and separation, but have now turned again, the Bible says, to the beggarly elements of the world. Look at Galatians 4 and 9. But now, after that you have known God, okay, or rather are known of God, which I can tell the writer wrote that because he thought that was even better. How can you turn again to the weak and the beggarly elements whereunto you desire again to be in bondage? How can you do that? Look at, Colossians 2 and 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. Don't let them do that. After the traditions of men, don't let them do that. After the rudiments of the world, do not let them do that. And not after Christ. Amen. Praise God. So, those entangled again in the sins and the things of the world are worse off than they were to begin with. Salvation is always accompanied by separation. It just is. Separation comes through two avenues. You separate yourself from the world, your former lifestyle and associates. Your former associates and the world separate themselves from you because you no longer fit in. I remember being in that place. I'll never forget it. It was a lonely spot for several months. I came to God and then I took off to be with my friends. Because my friends had to know about what I found. And when I started sharing it with my friends, they thought I went nuts. And they turned me off. And so there it is. I'm in a church now with no friends because I don't know anybody. I'm not with my old friends because they don't know me. And that put me by myself and alone. And that was a good place to be because that's where I got my very first miracle. There is a spot and a place. If you're a newcomer here tonight, there's a spot and there's a place to where for a while it'll only be you and God. People around you won't understand you, church people or the friends you used to have. And that's a good place to be. You're only going to be there a little while, and so enjoy it while you can. I worked in an upholstery shop, and for break that day I was fasting. And for break that day, I didn't go to lunch or eat or anything. And it was an upholstery shop, so there was furniture everywhere. And I stacked it all around me. I didn't want anybody to see what I was doing or ask any questions. And so I did that. I sat down. I got a piece of paper. I didn't know any better. I got myself a pencil, and I began to write God a note. And, buddy, I was going to tell him how I felt. I just got into church, and it's supposed to be the greatest thing, and how am I so lonely, and what's wrong with my friends that I'm trying to reach out to, and how come I can't get new friends in the church, and how come, and I'm telling you before God, I felt the cushion beside me go down with pressure. And I felt an arm come up around me and pull me up close. I never got to dear Jesus. I never got there. I knew that moment that was God. And he let me know for just a little while, I need to walk with you by myself. I want to walk with you for a little while. It's going to be okay. I want us to get to know one another. I just want you to keep praying like you're praying. Keep fasting like you're fasting. Those were the days, Cody, that I'd go into prayer closet because my preacher said, you need to pray an hour a day. Hallelujah. And I said, oh, yeah, I can do that. No sweat. And I stepped in my closet and started praying an hour a day. I stepped out an hour later, so proud of myself, I could bust. I looked at the clock. I'd been in there a full 5 minutes. And so the Lord was just telling me, there's some places I want to help you get. And if you get all caught up in friends and laughter and pizza and all of this, and that you're going to, all the stuff that I want to accomplish right here for the next couple of months or so, all this stuff is going to just not happen, and we won't have that. But I want us to have something as you make your way forward. I'll never forget that. Amen. And it's happened to many of you so many different ways. And you could tell it. Amen. But Spirit, Holy Ghost-filled people are pilgrims, and we're strangers in this world. Our citizenship is in heaven. Sin, worldliness, Satan becomes our enemies. Therefore, we distance ourselves from the elements that would entangle us again in the yoke of bondage. Amen. If we were lost and hell-bound because of our lifestyle, and if we were lost and hell-bound because of our conduct on the other side of the Holy Ghost, doesn't it make sense? And doesn't it dictate a message to us that we should separate ourselves after the Holy Ghost? Absolutely. Moreover, God's Word explicitly commands us to separate from our former lifestyles of sinfulness and to separate ourselves from the world. Amen. Praise God. Paul uses this word in an emphatic manner. I want us to take note. 2 Corinthians 6:14-18. I'm nearly done here tonight. Be ye not unequally yoked together. I need to send this message to Landmark right now. You need to understand this message. This is not something Pastor made up. I'm not trying to isolate people. I'm preaching the Word of God still. Even when it's inconvenient to the flesh. Be you not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. An unbeliever is simply people that don't believe it like we believe it. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? That's what the Word says. And what communion hath light with darkness? It's going to get deep here. Are you ready? Amen. What concord hath Christ with Belial? In other words, what's the Lord got in common with the devil? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. Don't make these people your idol. For you are the temple of God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be you separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. That's strong. That's stuff that accompanies salvation. It goes with it. Praise God. All right? So believers are not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Righteousness and unrighteousness have no fellowship. Light and darkness have absolutely no communion. Praise God. Study and be very teachable and understand. We need separation, right? Listen, let me give you the logistics of separation, and I'll be done here tonight. Think with me on the reason and the reasonableness of separation from a scriptural, logical perspective. Amen. Associates that we associate with. They influence us. Am I right? Say yes. You know I'm right. All our friends and family members may not be saved. Therefore, we must restrict our fellowship with those who would influence us to do wrong. It doesn't matter who it is. Amen. Secondly, environments influence us. Environment. Worldly entertainment influences us. Our former haunts, places we went, are replaced with wholesome activities. We don't go back there and do that anymore. Reading can influence us. Amen. What good does unrighteous reading, what good is it going to accomplish in a child of God's home? Purveyors of filth, producers of filth, people that put filth together through printed matter, they run rampant under the guise of freedom of speech. Read God's Word and other worthwhile reading materials that are carefully selected. Amen. What we see influences us. The eyes are the window of the soul. Your mom and dad's going to protect you against seeing things, because once you see it, it's forever there. And so on and on. Protect it. God's going to protect His people and keep them in the church from seeing things they shouldn't see. Law enforcement, and Carson could help me with this, but even law enforcement, they spend 95% of their time trying to maintain 5% of our population. 95% of their time is trying to maintain 5% of our population. The ones that need change. So what we see influences us. What is beyond our control in public, God gives us victory over. What we watch willfully is another matter. Amen. Keep the filth out of our homes. Keep the filth off the screen. And for God's sake, don't invite other people to come and watch filth with you. And let's maintain a good church that will go to heaven and be filled by the time the rapture takes place. What we hear influences us, right? What we think influences us. Satan has access to our minds, but he doesn't have access to control them. Imagination and thoughts have got to be cast down and our minds cleansed every day, along with constantly guarding our minds against evil thinking. Amen. And again, what we hear influences us. What we're subject to in public, God will give us victory over. But what we willfully receive through the sense of hearing affects our spirituality. A lot of the music of our day is pornography set to music. Other forms of music incite things such as violence, drugs, and sex, and etc. Such things are to be shunned from people of God. Amen. Let's stand before I preach longer. There are things that, Landmark, I want you to continue in your relationship with God to understand that they should accompany salvation. Amen. I remember a young person years ago, and I will go as far as to even say that person is not here tonight, but they're doing great things for God. But I will say that young person was in a very peculiar place, and as his pastor, I knew it. And so I went to him and I expressed my concerns, and they had gone so far until they could look at me and say, "Let he who is without sin cast the first stone." Not just the words that they quoted, which were biblical, but customized to fit their situation. That was not what that scripture meant. It wasn't meant to be used to continue in sin. Thus, what good would the rest of the Bible do us? But the attitude itself, again, rang the bell and let me know somebody's in trouble here. All have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. But it's the one that gets up in the morning and says, "Lord, you got to help me here. I'm not making rhyme or reason to continue this way. But I totally submit and subject myself to you. I need help. Because I want everything that accompanies your salvation. And I don't want to tell you where to cut it off because I don't want it cut off. I want to become everything you. And I know, Lord, it's going to take a relationship and it's going to take a lifetime. But I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going anywhere. And I'll be right back tomorrow. And I'll be right back next week. Because I want everything you have that goes along with salvation. I don't want things to just fit me. I don't want things just to circle around my little lifestyle. I don't want to do what I want to do and make God fit it. I want what God has that goes along with that Bible salvation that I found that millions of others would love to have, but they don't even know it exists. But yet God let me have it. I can't take that lightly. So that being said, why don't we just look up toward heaven, lift our hands, and let's thank God for Bible salvation. Let's thank God for the works that come along with it. Let's thank God for all of the attributes that come with it, all of the attitudes that come with it, all the things that accompany salvation. I want it all. I want it all. I want to move forward. I want to move forward. I want to move forward. I want God in me and I want to be in this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glorious things are brought to us through salvation. Only a few of them have been examined tonight. However, the things that we've examined are vital. They're essential to our welfare. And they're vital and essential to God's kingdom. Having salvation without these accompanying blessings and responsibilities is just impossible. Accepting the Lord has always had its repercussions. In every generation, living for God, people have buffeted us and they just haven't liked us very much. Nevertheless, its glory far outweighs its demands. Having Jesus in my life is my greatest asset. Living with Him in eternity will be my greatest reward for living for Him on this earth. Do you believe that? Shout yes. Clap your hands to the Lord. There are things that accompany salvation. Go with God and let God go with you. God bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name. Shake hands. Be friendly. There is